You might find the idea of trauma hard to identify with. Anxiety? Sure. Low self-esteem? Tick. Confusion? Overeating? Addiction? Any of those making you nod along? But trauma, you might think, that's not me. Well, my next guest says whether it's big or small, and I'm using quote marks there around small, trauma can trap you in a cycle of dysfunction, and you might not even know that that's where your reactions are springing from. Does that resonate with you? If you realise that some of your reactions or your behaviours were linked to a past trauma, what did you do next? What helped you break that pattern? With us today is Dr. Sarah Woodhouse. She's a trauma expert and a research psychologist. Her book's called You're Not Broken, Break Free from Trauma and Reclaim Your Life. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
Now, it can be very hard to get our head around the idea that trauma need not be just the huge, horrific events that spring to mind. You argue it can affect all kinds of people who've been through different experiences. Tell us a bit about what you mean when you talk about trauma or traumatic reactions.
Yes. So when I speak about trauma, what I'm saying is that essentially it's a reaction to any kind of experience, any kind of event in our lives that made us feel overwhelmed, threatened, and out of control. So they're the three things that sit at the base of a traumatic reaction. And when we think about that, we realize that that can be from those big, severe experiences that we all associate with trauma, right? Things like bushfires and floods and assault. So we all recognize that. But what I'm really trying to do with the book is get people to look at all of these events over here. So this other type of event, commonplace, everyday experiences that can also lead to us feeling overwhelmed, threatened, and out of control.
So what are okay. some examples of some of those things?
Well, it's as simple as sort of everyday slips and falls. It can be routine medical procedures. Very often I find myself speaking to people about experiences within difficult relationships. So in particular, sort of parental relationships, because if you think about childhood, how often did you feel overwhelmed as a child or threatened or out of control? So because those experiences are fairly common to children, what we're learning, what the research is showing us is that children can easily and quickly experience traumatic reactions. And we've all experienced them. We've all experienced a traumatic reaction, and some of us are still stuck in it today.
And I found it really interesting, Sarah, how you talk about the different ways trauma can affect people. You talk about some of the physical impacts that have been studied, liver disease, shortened life, things like that, but also just people's capacity to enjoy life and feel contentment. Tell us a little bit about how trauma can be expressed in people's lives. What are those symptoms that make you go, hang on a minute, I think that's trauma coming out?
Do you know what's so tricky is that it's extremely broad. It really is very, very broad. So we see a raft of different experiences, and I've seen some very unusual ones. That's the truth. And in the book, I do list them. I go into real detail to help people understand that this reaction that's caused from our overactive nervous system can show up in all manner of different ways. But the common ones that we'll tend to see are anxiety or anxiety-like symptoms. Also often feeling shame or fear or anger. So it's the repetitiveness of those feelings. That's what I try and get people to focus on. But as well as those emotional symptoms, there are cognitive symptoms. And I think that can be a real sort of light bulb moment for people, because we sort of don't really tend to recognize that low self-belief, negative thinking, and obsessive worries and fears. So, you know, when your mind just starts racing, boom, 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 it's often a sign that there's too much adrenaline. So our fight, flight, freeze, which is our survival response, which is the base of that trauma response, has been set off. So I also ask people to kind of recognise those cognitive symptoms.
It was fascinating to read too, Sarah, that you tried really hard to intellectualise your own trauma, and you did this decade of research into the very issue that you told your therapist didn't apply to you. How is it possible that people don't draw the link between the experiences they've had in their life and these patterns that emerge?
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Because we're all just so human, you know. We're afraid of the word. It's got a bad rap.
Yes.
You know, and that's no one's fault, because the first place that we studied this, if you think back, was, what did we used to call it? Shell shock. You know, so we recognized it first in extreme cases. So of course we're afraid of it. It's a word that makes us feel quite uncomfortable, I think. But that, the fact that we're pushing the word away, is causing problems, because really what we need to do is move towards it, learn about it, and learn about how it applies to us and the people we love. How might that apply to our children or our partner or our mum or our dad? You know, and once we move towards it, we can see it's not the big scary thing we thought. It's a common protective human reaction, and learning about it, really, it's all about insights. You know, when you learn about it, you can begin to spot those patterns that you're trapped in. So it's really something we need to move towards and open up to.
It's really great to read the really practical arenas that you looked at for where these things might be cropping up and how you might make change. And you dedicated a whole chapter to trauma and work. Why is work such a hotbed of reactions for people around these experiences?
I'm so pleased you brought that up. I love that chapter in the book. It was amazing researching it. I had some incredible conversations with people about it. Why is it a hotbed? Because often work involves conflict. That's the truth. It involves, you know, we hope constructive criticism, but can involve feedback that feels extremely uncomfortable. And I detail stories, you know, interviews I've had with people where they're fight, flight, freeze. So they've been triggered. Their traumatic reaction has been set off within a work environment. And it's led to them making some decisions that did not serve them, because they were triggered. So they were thrown back into this old reaction. So instead of standing strong in their adult self, as we all want to at work, they're thrown back to an old reaction, to an old time. So it's almost like we all become children. And maybe that's ringing some bells in people. You know, when you think about moments at work and observe how people react and operate, you know, if we all learn more about what it means to be triggered and how trauma can show up in the workplace, we'll have much happier workplaces.
We're talking with Dr. Sarah Woodhouse about her book, You're Not Broken, and this idea of trauma as not always being the big horrific things that can happen to us, but any event that makes us feel overwhelmed or threatened or out of control. Those were the big three things that Sarah mentioned can set us off. And Sarah, obviously another huge arena that people act out these old patterns is relationships, isn't it? Tell us a bit about how you can work out when you're in, say, conflict in a relationship, whether that's a bad pattern, a sign of a past trauma, or just a reasonable reaction to someone being a bit annoying.
Such a great question. Essentially, it's about repetition and strength. So the phrase that I use in the book, which is super corny, but I love it because it sticks with people and they remember it, even though it's corny, is if it's hysterical, it's historical. So if you...
It works. It's stuck in my head now.
It works, right? You'll remember it. Next time you're having an argument with someone, you'll go, oh, hang on a minute. So, and that applies to us and to anyone that we're communicating with. You know, if you see someone having a very, very strong reaction, it's really unlikely they are responding to the situation in front of them. It's triggered something from their past. So when you're standing arguing, I don't know, about breakfast with your partner or you know, whatever it might be, if suddenly there's a very strong reaction from you or your partner, or, you know, this applies within family relationships or friendships as well, you can be almost completely certain that it's triggered something from the past. So strength is a really important one. And then the second one is repetition. So really we're looking for patterns. So if you find yourself responding strongly in response to the same type of situation, the same type of, I mean, a trigger can be anything, you know, that's the truth. It can be a situation. It can be a tone of voice. It can be an image, a smell, an object. It really can be very broad. But if you find yourself responding in a similar way to the same type of trigger, then I would always be saying, okay, this is triggering something from the past, and we would begin to use that language. We would say, okay, this is part of a traumatic reaction that stems from a long time ago.
Indeed. And in the book, You're Not Broken, Dr. Sarah Woodhouse, you talk about the ways that people can address these patterns. And a lot of it seems to be about self-awareness and doing the things that can help you feel calm and in control, whether that's yoga or meditation or exercise or lots of different things. But you talk also about this thing called a growth mindset. And I can almost hear the eyes rolling around Australia now because we've heard that from a lot of, you know, self-help coaches. Tell us what it is and how we get it.
So a growth mindset, essentially, and it is so corny, but one thing I wanted to do, this is in the final part of the book, is bring in some of these terms into the trauma space, because the trauma space is, you know, historically very heavy, and, you know, and of course we all understand that, and some people need to do deep processing work. But what I wanted to do was lighten it up and draw people's attention to these more simple concepts. So I talk a lot about resilience, and I talk a lot about growth mindset, about these simple mechanisms that can really make a big difference and change our reaction, because the growth mindset essentially is believing that we can learn, you know, that we can grow from our mistakes, that we can get knocked down and then and bounce back up. And it's learning to do that and developing resilience as we go. So within a context of healing our trauma, it's incredibly important, you know, because healing's tricky, and there are going to be days when it feels hard and it feels like a knockback. So learning to stand back up, learning that we can grow through our difficulties, it enables us to transform, really. So it changes the trauma from something very sort of painful, well, it's still painful, but it can become something that leads to huge growth. Post-traumatic growth is a real thing. And if we all focus on that and how to develop that in our lives, we can sort of use our traumas as a springboard for transformation. So it's really important.
Well, and are you talking about something that's such a hugely emotional thing for a lot of people? Sarah, where does your book and your conception of trauma sit in the scientific understanding of those things? You're a master of science. Tell us how strongly your book links into what we know from the research.
Oh, very. You know, that's the truth. It very much echoes everything that's out there at the moment. I'm using the same type of knowledge. I'm expressing the same ideas, but I'm expressing them in a different way.
And a useful way for a lot of people, I'm sure. Dr. Sarah Woodhouse, thank you so much for your time on Life Matters today.
Thank you.
Dr. Sarah Woodhouse, her book's called You're Not Broken. It's got this beautiful cover with that Japanese golden lines on the front from the Japanese style of mending called kintsugi, where you take something that's broken and you glue it back together visibly so that you can see how beautiful it still is. She's a trauma expert and a research psychologist. And if this conversation has brought up anything for you that you'd like to talk about, there are people you can chat to 24 hours a day. The number for Lifeline is 13 11 14.